Welcome back, guys. Welcome back to Spontaneous Remarks, the podcast where you never know what's going to happen or what's going to be said or done. You just got to know what we're talking about today. Today, we're going to continue our journey down memory lane. Now, you can find memory lane. All you got to do is take a left at the Fortress of Solitude, go down two blocks to Hunky Dory Avenue. Then you just hang a right. And there you're going to find memory lane. It's filled with all the things from the 80s. My gosh. I just realized something. Antique cars qualify at 25 years to be considered an antique. So I'm guess you call me ancient because I'm 43 years old. I was born in a sweltering summer going into the fall in September 1980. For all of my fellow Virgos. Yes, that's right. I'm old. So last week we talked about one of the best movies, in my opinion, Back to the Future. So no telling where our show is going to take us today. So buckle up, grab your favorite snack as we dive back into another episode of Spontaneous Remarks. Woo! All right, well, we are back on Spontaneous Remarks. I'll be your host, Mark Lawson, and we are going to see exactly what we're talking about today. We're back on episode 3, and we're going to be like an Olympic diver and just dive right in the middle of it. So let's give the old Wheel of Nerdville a spin to see what we're going to be talking about today. More than meets the eye. Transformers. All right. Woo. It was a fun time back in the 80s with these robots coming from Cybertron. And this is one thing I never had a lot of when I was growing up. I never had a lot of Transformers toys, but I did have a few. So the origin and the concept of the Transformers or originated as a joint venture between a Japanese toy company and an American toy company, Hasbro. Now, the concept involved sentient robots known as Transformers. A lot of people know about them. We've had many movies come out in the past, I'd say 10, 15 years. And they could change their forms between robots and various vehicles or objects. So the toy line launch, it launched in 1984 by Hasbro in the United States and Takara Tomy in Japan. I hope I pronounced that correctly. The initial line included two factions, Autobots, and they were the good guys, and the Decepticons. And they represented evil. Now, the Autobots, their logo is a red. It's like a Transformer face. Kind of blocky. I'm sure you guys have seen it. The Decepticons was the same. It was just the Transformer face, but it was kind of pointed at the top. So it looked, just the look of the two icons, you could tell one looked more evil than the other. One looked pretty positive. The other was pretty negative. The animated series came out in 1984. It premiered and was co-produced by Sunbow Productions and Marvel Productions. And it served as this marketing platform for the toy line and featured ongoing conflicts between the Autobots and the Decepticons. One thing that's interesting about the animated show was that if you're into music, I'm also a musician, which we'll get into the music things later on in the show. But the theme song was quite strange when it came down to time signatures and just the way that the words flowed. It was just an unusual song. But it was like, Transformers, more than meets the eye. And Autobots or something, I don't remember. So the key characters, now the key characters in this show, Optimus Prime was the leader of the Autobots, and he was voiced by Peter Cullen. Now, Peter Cullen had a very deep, authoritative voice that became iconic for the character of Optimus Prime. Even to this day, in 2024, he has still voiced Optimus Prime in the movies. He also was the voice, if you didn't know, of the Predator back in the 80s, the Predator movie. He was also the little voice, the little clicking noise that the Predator used. Frank Welker was Megatron, Soundwave, and other various Decepticons. Welker has provided his talents not only to bring life to Megatron, Soundwave, and other Decepticons, but Frank Welker has voiced many, many other characters such as Scooby-Doo and Fred Jones. That's probably what he's best known for providing as the voice of Scooby-Doo. He did Curious George, Fred Jones, and the pup named Scooby-Doo. He's also done Abu from Aladdin, and Garfield, and Megatron as well in the Transformers Prime, which is another animated series that he just reprised his role in. So he's done quite a bit of work, not only in Transformers. Chris Latta, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. He played Starscream. He had a high-pitched, slightly manic voice. Perfectly captured Starscream's treacherous nature. Plus Megatron's scheming second in command is who he was. Corey Burton as Spike Witwicky. And other various characters as well. Burton lent his voice to the human character Spike Witwicky, as well as other various supporting roles throughout the series. Interesting, Casey Kasem was also the voice as Cliff Jumper and various other Autobots. Now, Kasem is another one like Frank Welker. If you're familiar with anything to do with Casey Kasem, he was always on the American Top 40 radio program. But Casey Kasem did Robin's voice in Batman and Robin. He did Shaggy's voice in Scooby-Doo. And so he's been in a lot of other things as well. Scatman Crothers as Jazz. Crothers brought a smooth, jazzy voice to the Autobot Jazz, giving his character such a unique charm and personality. And then Dan Gilvazen as Bumblebee. And he portrayed Bumblebee, gave the character kind of a youthful and enthusiastic voice, befitting his role as the friendly Autobot scout. So these talented voice actors helped bring these Transformers to life and contributed to the popularity of this animated series. Now, there was also Transformers the Movie, and it was an animated feature released in 1986. It served as a significant moment in Transformers history, and it bridged the gap between the first and second seasons of the original animated series. Now, this movie is set in the year 2005, which it's kind of crazy because, that's a time. It was significantly ahead of the time period in the 80s. The Autobots were led by Optimus Prime, continuing their ongoing battle against the Decepticons. And there was a new threat called Unicron. But this was a colossal planet-eating entity that posed a huge danger to both Autobots and Decepticons alike, not to mention Earth. But the story follows this arc, this epic struggle, as familiar characters face new challenges, alliances are forged, and sacrifices are made in the fight against Unicron. Now, the voice cast was very similar to the animated series. There was a couple of new ones. New characters were introduced as Hot Rod, voiced by Judd Nelson. If you know who Judd Nelson is, he was from The Breakfast Club. Ultra Magnus, he was voiced by Robert Stack. Now, let me tell you something. Robert Stack has got the craziest, deep, creepiest voice ever. He was on the show Unsolved Mysteries back in the day. And then the enigmatic Unicron, voiced by Orson Welles in his final role. Now, it's not listed on here, but I do want to say that Leonard Nimoy, which was Mr. Spock of Star Trek, I believe he voiced another character as well. Yes, he voiced Galvatron. Leonard Nimoy from Star Trek also voiced Galvatron, the upgraded form of Megatron after being reformatted by Unicron. Nimoy's portrayal added this distinct gravitas to the character. So it's so interesting to hear all these names that work together. Like, I grew up watching all of this. Man, it just brings back lots of memories. Transformers, it was such a cool show because it was something that you know, was a little different. You know, these toys turned from cars into robots, and it was cool. I mean, the little sound that they made when they transformed, maybe I can find a little clip of it here. I don't think I'll get copyrighted for that. I hope not. Let me see here. Transformers, more than meets the eye. Trailbreaker. Wheeljack. So that's what the transforming sound sounded like, and it was pretty cool. I've always enjoyed that. So, the story arcs of the animated series, it always featured like various story arcs and conflicts, often revolving around the battle for control of resources or powerful artifacts. The Matrix of Leadership, which was this powerful artifact, it often played that kind of central role in the storyline. And then the Legacy of Transformers. It left a significant cultural impact. It spawned numerous sequels, spinoffs, comics, movies, video games, and it has a huge dedicated fan base that continues to celebrate the franchise's rich history. Now, one thing that is notable about the Transformers movie from 1986 was this was probably the first time a child was watching a movie. I mean, this is 1986, a lot of kids, toys, you know. So, I mean, I was 6 years old at the time, but I remember seeing this movie in theaters, and there was a controversial decision in the storyline to kill off several major characters. And I remember, if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure I started crying when Optimus Prime died in the Transformers movie in 1986. It was very heartbreaking. But that was probably the first time I'd ever seen a character die in anything I'd watched growing up. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't know. So that's something that a lot of people still talk about today. The gut-wrenching scene where Optimus Prime dies is what a lot of kids remember. And so, that was something big back then. So now, fast forward, 40-something years, 30-something years, and we have the Transformers movies that had come out back in, they started coming out in 2007. Michael Bay directed them. Transformers from 2007 was the first film in the installment as a live-action Transformers series. It had, you know, the Autobots back battling the Decepticons on Earth. Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox was in the leading roles. Next up was Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen. Came out in 2009, which was the sequel. And still, you know, it had the same, you know, conflict between the Autobots and the Decepticons, with Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox reprising those roles. Now, and the third one, Dark of the Moon, that was in 2011. These were all three directed by Michael Bay. The fourth one, Age of Extinction, was directed by Michael Bay. All of them are, it looks like, except for the Bumblebee. So we had Transformers, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, Transformers Dark of the Moon, Transformers Age of Extinction. Now, Age of Extinction Shia LaBeouf was no longer cast. He was replaced. I guess replaced. Not the character, but the lead was cast to Mark Wahlberg. It marked a soft reboot of the series, which had a new storyline involving human-made Transformers. And then Transformers The Last Night, also Mark Wahlberg returned in the lead role. And that explored the origins and connection to Earth's history. And then there was a spinoff movie called Bumblebee. It took place in 2018. It was directed by Travis Knight. This film just served as a prequel to all the other movies, focusing just on the character of Bumblebee. And it was set in the 80s. So that sounds like a pretty cool movie. I've not actually seen that one. I think I've seen every other one except that one. So I guess I need to watch that, don't I? Okay, well, these are the six main live-action Transformer movies. And then the newest one was Beast Wars, I think is what it was called. And so that's one that me and my wife are actually going to sit down and start watching all of these back over because she's never seen all of them. So we're going to do that at some point in the future. Now, what else can we say about Transformers? Well, it was a fun time in any child's life to get a Transformer that you couldn't put together. Now, as I said earlier, the Transformers toy line started back in the 80s, and it was hugely, I mean, I still see, you know, toys on the aisles today. And the interesting thing about it was it wasn't just a toy, it was kind of a puzzle as well. So first of all, you had to put the Transformer, you had to change it from robot mode to car mode and then change it back to Transformer mode. So the complexity of the transformation was one of the defining features of the Transformer toys. My gosh, I can't even talk straight. And its ability to transform into one form or the other back and forth. But designing toys with those transformations and those mechanisms, you know, they had that durability problem, and, you know, they had to be intuitive for children to be able to go back and forth. It could be challenging. I mean, imagine a Rubik's Cube, you know, which we might just talk about at some point. But anyway, balancing that complexity with playability has always been a delicate task for toy designers. Now, not only that, but there was engineering and design constraints. So transforming a toy from one form to another not only requires, you know, their careful engineering and design considerations, but also you have to ensure that all of the parts are going to fit together smoothly without sacrificing all those aesthetics of both forms. So that often requires innovative solutions, and this can lead to, you know, production challenges and increased manufacturing costs. Now, the brand continuity and refreshment. Now, over the years, the Transformers brand has evolved to, you know, include various iterations such as, you know, Generation 1, the Beast Wars, Robots in Disguise, and, you know, there's so much more. Now, obviously, if you know anything about toys or how things are made, or not necessarily made, but, you know, when you produce something that's popular, you're going to have a lot of competition. So Transformers always had, you know, competition in the toy market. Numerous brands just vying for children's attention. Not only did Transformers compete with other action figure lines like G.I. Joe, what else back in the day? G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles at one point. There was the GoBots. The GoBots were the knockoff brand, I guess you could call, for the Transformers. Interestingly enough, GoBots made its premiere in the U.S. in 1983, nearly a full year before the original Transformers toy line debut. So, you know, I always thought the GoBots were actually the knockoff of the Transformers, but looks like it's the other way around. But I think Transformers were actually they ended up becoming more popular somehow because GoBots, hey, in 2024, this is the only place you're going to hear about GoBots right here from a 43-year-old guy that remembers it from his childhood. Like Transformers, GoBots featured the transforming robot toys, They could change into vehicles and other forms. However, Transformers, they focused on the intricate transformations and a diverse cast of characters. GoBots, they just offered those simpler transformations and more limited range of characters. Now, in 1991, Tonka, which was the company behind GoBots, was actually acquired by Hasbro, which, obviously is the parent company of Transformers. So, as a result, all the rights to the GoBots franchise became the property of Hasbro, which, it did lead to occasional crossovers and references in Transformers media, but that's why, apparently, the GoBots have faded out. They may not have achieved the same level of success as Transformers, but that's also another important part of the 1980s toy and animation history. I remember it growing up. I had one of those little books that you had to read with a record player. If you don't know what a record player is, it's similar, or a record similar to a CD but much bigger. If you don't know what a CD is, that's before streaming. If you don't know what streaming is, well, you need to find out. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, this book, you put your the record on the record player. It would spin with a needle. The needle would play the music or play the story, and then every once in a while you'd hear, like, when you hear the chime ring like this, you may turn the page. So it was one of those little things a kid could do. They could listen to the book, look at the book as they're listening to it, and just kind of look at the pages and read along. That was a fun time. We may talk about that on another episode. And that brings us to the end of another electrifying episode of Spontaneous Remarks. I mean, I really hope that you're enjoying this journey through the neon-lit streets of the 1980s as we explore all the transformative worlds of Transformers. Fear not, fellow time travelers, as our adventure through the decade of decadence is far from over. So just dust off your Walkman, grab your Rubik's Cube, and just get ready for more bodacious blasts from the past. Whether you're an Autobot or Decepticon, there's always room for more fun on memory lane. So until next time, keep your flux capacitors fluxing and your DeLoreans DeLoreing. So thank you so much. This is Mark signing off. Stay spontaneous, stay remarkable, and above all, stay tuned for the next episode of Spontaneous Remarks. Catch you on the flip-flop. Hey, wait. Hey, don't go nowhere yet. Hey. My gosh, stop that music. Hey, I got a quick question for you. So, why did the arcade game go to the therapy? Because it had too many quarters and couldn't deal with the change. Oh, my gosh.